Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 16, Pastimes of Childhood and Youth, text number 103 is on the board. It goes from 90, all the way from 90. So I'll read the translations of 90 to that. The wonderful explanation the boy has given could not have been possible for a human being. Therefore, Mother Saraswati must have spoken personally through his mouth. So this is Digvijaya speaking. Keshava Kashmiri. Thinking about this, the Pandit said, "My dear Anandamayi Pandit, please hear me. Hearing your explanation, I am simply struck with wonder. I am surprised you are not a literary student, do not have long experience in studying the Shastras. How have you been able to explain all these critical points?" Hearing this and understanding the Pandit's heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said in a humorous way, "My dear sir, I do not know what is a good composition and what is bad, but whatever I have spoken must be understood to have been spoken by Mother Saraswati." When he heard the judgment from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Pandit sorrowfully wondered why Mother Saraswati wanted to defeat him through a small boy. "I shall offer prayers and meditation to the Goddess of Learning," the champions concluded, "and ask why she has insulted me so greatly through this boy." Saraswati had in fact induced the champion to compose his verse in an impure way. Furthermore, when it was discussed, she covered his intelligence, and thus the Lord's intelligence was triumphant. When the poetic champion was thus defeated, all the Lord's disciples sitting there began to laugh loudly. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked them not to do so, and he addressed the poet as follows. "You are the most learned scholar and the topmost of all great poets, for otherwise how could such fine poetry come from your mouth? Your poetic skill is like the constant flow of the waters of the Ganges. I find no one in the world to compete with you. Even in the poetic compositions such as great poets as Baba Bhuti, Jayadev, and Kalidas, there are many examples of faults." So, text number 102. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Such mistakes should be considered negligible. We should see only how such poets have displayed their poetic power. Purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, "Tadvag visargo janatagla viplavo yasmin prati slokam abharavatyapi namaninantasya yishang kitaniyat shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sarava." In explaining the glories of the Lord, inexperienced men may compose poetry with many faults. But because it contains glorification of the Lord, great personalities hear it, read it, and chant it. Bhagavatam 1.5.11. Despite its minute literary discrepancies, one must study poetry on the merit of its subject matter. According to Vaishnava philosophy, any literature that glorifies the Lord, whether properly written or not, is first class. There need be no other considerations. The poetic compositions of Baba Bhuti or Sri Kanta include Malati Madhava, Utra Charita, Veera Charita, and many other similar Sanskrit dramas. This great poet was born during the time of Bhojaraj as the son of Nilakanta, a Brahmana. Kalidas flourished during the time of Maharaj Vikramaditya, and he became the state poet. He composed some 30 or 40 Sanskrit dramas, including Kumara Sambhava, Abhigyan Sakuntala, and Megha Dhuta. His drama Raghu Vamsa is especially famous. We have already described Jayadev in chapter 13 of this Adi Lila. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Bhacharne Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paska Dhyade Satarne. Every conditioned soul has his idea of what's perfection. For some people, they think perfection is to memorize the divisions of pi. Then you're a perfect person. Others may think if you can jump 8 feet into the air, then you're a perfect person. Or run very fast, or kick a ball into a hole, into a goal, or with a stick, hit a little ball into a hole, then you're reaching perfection. But our understanding is perfection is to get free from the bodily concept of life. That without becoming free from the bodily concept of life, one is simply wasting his time. We may become expert at so many things, but unless we can become expert at transcending old age, disease, and death, then our expertise is Shrama Evahi Kevalam. And in order to do that, liberation doesn't mean simply getting free from the bodily concept of life, although that certainly is liberation. Liberation means liberation into the Supreme. Bhakti Amam Abhijananti Yavanyas Chasmi Tattvataha Tatomam Tattvato Gyatva Vishite Tad Anantaram. After getting free from hankering and lamentation, Prabhupada writes in his purport of the Bhagavad Gita, everyone is hankering to become the Supreme. Of course, that what the Supreme means may vary according to different circumstances, but everyone's hankering more or less to become the center of everyone else's attention. So to do that, we'll do anything. We'll stand on our hands and clap our feet, we'll jump circles, break dance, just to become the center of everyone's attention so everyone can center their attention upon us and give us their love. Or money. Nowadays, you show love by giving money, resources. So we're hankering for that. In other words, we're hankering to become the center of attention, and we're always frustrated because people just can't keep their attention on us. I guess it's Kali Yuga. Or, as Prabhupada said, we envy God because he's the Supreme, because ultimately everyone has to pay attention to him. And we want to take his place. As B.F. Skinner in his psychology said, one day by our scientific endeavor we'll be able to break into the kingdom of God, we'll find the old man and then we'll kill him. Nice guy. I studied him for 4 years in college. So that's Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nashoshiti Nakankshiti. Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu. And because of that, we don't see everyone equally. Or when we can become free from this hankering lamentation, then we can see everyone as a spiritual being. We can see what their actual value is. Their actual value is not to make some special arrangement in the material world that everyone's going to go, oh, that's a perfect arrangement. You become a perfect golf player. You're able to hit the ball not only in one hole. You hit the ball one time and it goes into 18 holes. That's perfection. Anything less than that, you have to keep on practicing life after life after life. But to actually see everyone as a spiritual soul and to appreciate them. In other words, our Krishna consciousness philosophy is about relationships. Bhayam dvitiyani beshitasya isharapatasya vipario smriti. As soon as we reverse our relationship with the Supreme, as soon as we want to become the Supreme, we want to utilize the Supreme to make us the center of attention, then the result is everything gets reversed. Instead of actually developing loving relationships with people, we develop envious relationships with people. And therefore, although we think we're making progress, actually, we're just simply making progress in the wrong way. Instead of getting an interview with Krishna, we get an interview with Yamaraj. So perfection is actually to get free from hangry and lamentation so we can actually develop a proper relationship with others, a loving relationship with others, a relationship based upon others' welfare rather than the welfare of our gross and subtle material bodies. Although the conditioned soul has fallen in love with his body and takes the body as the whole object of his love and attention, and is willing to sacrifice so many living entities in order to gratify the demands of the senses. But this is actually the exact opposite of what the soul really wants. He wants love, he wants relationship, he wants blissful, loving relationships, but it can't be done with the body, or the mind, or our materialistic intelligence. And what to speak of the false ego? Therefore, kamadinam katinam palitas durni deshas tesham jatamayi na karuna natrapa no pushanti utri jatam yatpate labas samprate lababudis tvam ayanam sharanam tvam yukshvatmadasye. So a devotee, he's praying kamadinam kati na katida palitas dorni deshas. So the demands of the senses, kamina, they're always innumerable and always increasing in the conditioned state of life. Now we may say, well, I'm pretty controlled. What does this have to do with me? Well, just chant around the japa, get out a piece of paper, and write down what you're thinking of. And probably some of it might not be Krishna's pastimes. Might be a few sentences here and there, which is not exactly from the Bhagavatam. So there's so many desires going through our minds, katida, palitas, dorni deshas, and they're controlling us, they're in such a way which is not very pleasant. And what is that? Tesham jatamayi na karuna natrapa no pushanti. There's no end to them. They never give me a break. As long as we're in the material conditioned state of life, these desires are going to come forever and ever. It's not that tomorrow, after all my endeavor, now my mind is going to become peaceful and I'll sit there simply in bliss. No, they're going to demand more and more and more, as long as we keep on serving them. And we're never embarrassed. Whatever the conditioned soul does in this material world, he can justify. We never do anything. The conditioned soul generally never thinks he does anything wrong. The only thing wrong in the material world is that people think he's doing wrong. Otherwise, he never does anything wrong, or she never does anything wrong. And there's no end, I'm not embarrassed, and they're never merciful to me. They never say, now I'm going to give you lust, anger, and greed and make you happy. By your lust, anger, and greed, this time you'll get enlightened and free from delusion. No, they're always chastising me, making my life more and more bewildering, complicated. I have to work ever harder to satisfy my desires. Utsrijatam yatapate sampratam labhabuddhis. But somehow or another, I've obtained a little intelligence. And what is that intelligence? That instead of trying to compete against God, I should try to put Krishna into the center of my life and help other people put Krishna in the center of their lives. And to do so, I have to surrender to Krishna's representatives. Gopi Bharta Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. It is not that in the spiritual world there'll be Krishna, there'll be Srimati Radharani, maybe, and there'll be me. Sometimes we'll invite Srimati Radharani to our party, if she's good. No, actually, the spiritual world is quite large. And there are unlimited living entities, and we have to become a servant of all of them in order to qualify ourselves, in order to enter into the spiritual world. We have to become a servant of all of Krishna's associates. There's no room in the spiritual world for envy. There's no room for competition that I'm going to become a better servant than everyone else and kick them all out and it'll just be me and Krishna left. No, in the spiritual world, everyone is anxious to become a better servant of everyone else. And believe it or not, we're also in the spiritual world right now, but we're in the prison part. So here, we have to practice also becoming a humble servant of Krishna's servants. And we learn to do that by becoming a servant of our acharyas in disciple succession. And what are our acharyas? It's not a position by itself. It's a consciousness of becoming perfectly expert in loving relationships. Specifically, the six loving relationships that Srila Rupa Goswami has explained in the Nectar of Instruction, offering gifts in charity and accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind and confidence and inquiring confidentially, accepting prasadam and offering prasadam. These are six loving exchanges that are shared amongst the devotees. He doesn't say any, that's perfection, is how to share loving relationships. And those who are most expert, ananya nindati shunyam ridaya isita sangalabhya, those who are most expert in that exchange of loving relationships, those who know how to respect within the mind, those who are chanting Hare Krishna, those who are expert at cooperation with those who are engaged in worshiping the deity and distributing Krishna consciousness to others, those who are advanced in unalloyed, uninterrupted devotional service, whose hearts are devoid of the propensity to criticize others because they're in love with everyone else as Krishna's servant. They appreciate everything or anything that anyone does to please Krishna. And they amplify it. In the material world, if someone does something nice, if one is envious, one tries to minimize it. Or as Prabhupada says, two friends of Mr. Patel, Mr. Patel has become a hard court judge, and his friends are speaking about it. So one friend says to the other, I saw Mr. Patel, he's become a high court judge. So the other friend's envious and says, I don't believe it. I know him since childhood. He could not become a high court judge. No, I saw it. I was in the court today, and I actually saw it. He's sitting on the bench, and he's become a high court judge. All right, maybe he became a high court judge, but I'm sure they're not giving him any salary. So we see some good quality and we try to minimize it. And we see some fault and we amplify it. We put it on Facebook, we send it all around the world, pigeons, we hire pigeons to send it out to everyone who's not on Facebook. Make sure the whole world knows that this guy is actually a rascal. So that's called materialistic consciousness. And the spiritual world, even there's something small that's done in order to please Krishna, then everyone is amplifying it. Krishna amplifies it, it makes Krishna happy, and it makes everyone else happy because Krishna is happy. Therefore, although in our estimation we may have our idea of what's perfection, and in a morning walk, Jayadvaita Swami and Satsarupa Maharaj and others were walking with Srila Prabhupada, and they were asking Srila Prabhupada questions. And one of the questions was, sometimes we see that the acharya, he falls asleep in class. Sometimes he misquotes verses. So how can we understand that the acharya is perfect? Or as one guest came into the temple one time, Tamakrishna Maharaj was giving class, and one boy walked into the temple and stood up and said, pointed to Tamakrishna Maharaj and said, I heard this man is perfect, but look, he has glasses on. Then he left. So people have their idea of perfection. And even they'll find fault with Krishna. Krishna, such a rascal. His parents were criminals, therefore he was born in a jail. Somehow or another, he escaped from jail, wound up, he became a foster child, couldn't even live with his own parents. Such a rascal. Grew up, first thing he did is he killed his nurse. Then he spent the rest of his childhood in crime with his Vrindavan mafia, killing animals from the forest, stealing. Then he started to get all these illicit relationships with these little girls. We don't even want to talk about it. Finally, he was about to get caught. He escaped Vrindavan, went to Mathura, started to kill people there. Life of crime. Escaped from there, went into the sea, and still he couldn't stop his propensity. And people were coming to visit him, and he killed them too. Finally, his relatives were all of the same nature as he was. They all got drunk one day and killed each other. So if one wants to find fault, one can find fault with God. One time one devotee went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, they keep on criticizing me. Prabhupada said, well, they even criticized the Lord Chaitanya. So the devotee, he thought Prabhupada didn't hear what I said. Prabhupada, they keep on criticizing me. So Prabhupada said, they even criticized Lord Chaitanya. Why should you be so concerned? Why should one become so concerned that we're being criticized? Everyone in this world is criticized. Krishna is criticized. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is criticized. So you want to find something to criticize someone for, thinking that they're not perfect, then you can find it in the activities of even the greatest Mahabhagavats. Because Prabhupada said their perfection is how they're spreading the Sankirtan movement, how they're trying to inspire others to chant Hare Krishna and develop their relation with Krishna, their loving relation with Krishna. That's their perfection. Because they have a loving relation with Krishna. Therefore, whatever they do, however it may be perceived as imperfect by worldly persons, is actually perfectly done to help others develop their love for Krishna. So they may write something, and it may not, in the worldly point of view, be perfect. The grammar may not be perfect, but it's just like a little child. A little child is trying to talk to his parents, lovingly trying to talk to his parents. He's going, goo, 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 goo. The parents are saying, that's not, how dare you insult us? Talk normal to us. Do you know who you're talking to, kid? Say something intelligent. Don't go, goo, 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 goo. No, when the parents hear the child going goo 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 goo, they it's like nectar to their ears. They hear their child lovingly calling to them. Prabhupada said we should chant Hare Krishna just like a child lovingly calling for his mother. He doesn't called for his mother in a Shakespearean accent. The mother doesn't say, "Kid, I'm going to answer you when you learn Shakespearean accent. Your pronunciation is imperfect. It's mama. It's a mama, mama." Get a life, kid. No, the mother, when she hears the loving cries of a child, her hearts melt. Her heart melts. So similarly, when the devotee, however imperfectly, the pure devotee, calls out to Krishna out of love, then Krishna responds reciprocally. And even Krishna, by his activities, out of love, sometimes it says that he milks a bull. He's become so ecstatic when he sees that the gopis, out of love, they're churning the river Jamuna to get yogurt. So Krishna becomes ecstatic when he sees their love, and he tries to milk a bull. So it's love which is the actual basis of real existence, not our so-called perfection of what we think is right and what we think is wrong. Love for Krishna, not love for our illusory conceptions of life. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?